Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Peaceful Soul Podcast, conversations and meditations to help you live a more calm and peaceful life. I'm Alicia Lynn Diaz, your host, Ayurvedic health practitioner, transformational healer, meditation guide, and devotional singer. And I've created many courses and programs that have supported thousands of people to transform their health, heal their emotions, awaken their spiritual centers, and really live a more fulfilling life. And so I'm so called right now to share this wisdom, this ancient wisdom, in an open source format via this podcast so it can reach more people. I truly believe that a peaceful world begins with cultivating inner peace inside of each and every one of us. And together we can bring more harmony to the world at large. In today's episode, I'm going to share with you a story of one of my first mystical experiences. This was a total turning point in my life. It's a very vulnerable share, but I felt really compelled to share this with you. And some of the major life lessons that I received from it, I think you'll really feel a deep sense of gratitude and reverence and awe in your life, and that you will really receive a transmission of oneness and what's possible when you can tap into that greater divine grace and energy in your own life. So thank you for being here, and I'm going to play a little bit of music to set the mood. And then we're going to dive right in to story time and a short guided practice at the end. It's interesting because I didn't expect, with the launching of this Peaceful Soul podcast, that I would be talking about this anytime soon. But as I was laying down for bed last night and just starting to drift off to sleep, the muse that whispered in my ear kind of pulled me out of bed and was like, "Yep, you're telling this story tomorrow morning." I was like, okay. So I got out of bed and just started jotting down a bunch of memories, notes from this experience. And I realized that even just reliving the story just in my mind was so healing and invigorating. I slept amazing last night, and I felt like the big takeaway from my experience was one that brought me into great, great peace. And I even woke up a couple times in the middle of the night because I had to go to the bathroom and the dog woke me up, you know, like various things that normally would make me feel maybe a little bit like, I'm not going to get good enough sleep. Like, I'm, you know, that would make me a little anxious that it was interrupting my rejuvenation. But both times that I woke up, I was just feeling this deep knowing and this deep, like, permeating peace within and this deep reverence and joy. And I really feel like it was because of just the remembrance of this story. And so I want to dive into it with you, and yeah, here we go. So I want to start out by saying that mystical experiences are called mystical because they're mysterious and not commonplace. But in the past, they've been reserved for, you know, mystics or saints or enlightened beings, or the gurus are the ones that only had these kinds of experiences. And I'm sure, or I imagine, that if you're on a journey of spiritual awakening and you've been studying or practicing yoga, Ayurveda, or if you're just an HSP kind of highly sensitive person or an empathic person like I am, and you have some kind of devotional practice, whether that be prayer or meditation, these types of experiences are more and more common, and we experience them in so many different outlets and ways. And to be honest, I call this my first mystical experience because it was the first, biggest, most profound one. But when I actually think back, I was having mystical experiences in my sleep when I was a child, and like kind of all throughout my life in various times. And there's other really poignant stories that I want to share with you, but I'm going to start today with this one because this one was a big turning point in my life. And it was one that I will never forget, and that has, you know, really shifted my embodied knowing of what's possible in terms of living a really deeply integrous, congruent life with spirit in body, in harmony with self, each other, and the earth as a whole. So there I was. It was actually the night of one of my birthdays. I'd have to actually count back to remember the exact year, but it was the eve of one of my birthdays, and three of my very dear friends had come down to visit me in San Diego from LA, and they were all kind of camping out in my house, in my apartment. My roommate at the time was out for the night and staying at her partner's house, and so we kind of were just having a really fun kind of camp out, catch up, celebrate my birthday, and we had a small gathering over at a friend's house for dinner, which was super sweet. But it was really mellow, no big deal. We all walked back to my apartment, and we were all kind of like getting ready for bed and hanging out in the living room. And it kind of turned out that one of my girlfriends that was there, she was going through a really hard time. Like, she was just very distraught, just really having a deep, deep, deep internal turmoil that that our other two friends were kind of trying to counsel her through. And they brought a very masculine approach to their support of her and were really trying to get her to break through her block and her challenge. And they were kind of essentially challenging her to step up and let go of the dynamic that was hurting her and challenging her. And I just sat and observed this lovingly, kind of non-judgment, seeing where everyone was coming from, but ultimately kind of feeling a little sadness in my heart that it didn't feel authentically like that was the way for her to quote unquote break through. And so the four of us kind of sat in a circle, almost like in council, while the two of them counseled her, and then essentially gave up and went to bed a little bit frustrated in a way. Almost this subtle energy of just feeling let down by her that she didn't break through. And oh, my heart went out to her, and I didn't know at all what the answer was for the complex inner turmoil and experience she was having, this deep feeling of stuckness. I didn't understand or like the thoroughly what she really was experiencing, wanted or needed, but I could just kind of sense that, you know, I could just feel her kind of energetically, as you can probably relate as an empathetic person or a sensitive person. You know, you can feel these things. Even if you're not a sensitive person, I think you can just feel, right, the energy when someone's feeling down, frustrated, angry, joyful, whatever the case may be, right? So I continued to simply sit with her and feel compassion for her. And again, like I said, I had no answers. I didn't even feel the need to talk. I just felt this very natural blooming of my heart kind of reaching towards her and just feeling compassionate. And simultaneously, I kind of felt very surrendered, like surrendered deeply into the humanity of that experience that she was happening, like that was that she was having and that was happening in this moment. And so we just sat across from each other with no words, and the lighting was dim in the room, and I had a little altar in that room. I used to do a lot of prayer practice in the morning. And so I had some already lit some candles on there and had some other little dim lights. So the lighting was dim. It was getting late into the night. It was like at least midnight by this time. It was probably close to midnight. But I also at the same time had no sense of time whatsoever. And so I felt the heaviness of her heart and I just sat there with her. No words, not trying to fix it, not feeling disappointed in her, nothing. Just the others went to bed and we just sat. And we just looked into each other's eyes with reverence and compassion and just simple beingness. We sat there for a while, just in total silence, across from each other, a few feet away. And I noticed that my vision just started fixating just on one eye. It was her left eye, which from my perspective looked like her right eye. It was on the right side of my vision. And I imagine, I don't know if this is the case, but I imagine her gaze did the same. Reciprocally. But as I just held that eye contact, it was very natural and completely effortless. But I started to notice that the room started disappearing. So we looked into, I was just like staring at her eye, and then my peripheral vision started to black out and go away. And as the peripheral vision started to close, it would close in on the eye and her eye would get brighter and everything else would be darker. And of course, as I started wondering, are my eyes just playing tricks on me, right? The lighting is pretty dim in here already. Maybe I'm just getting tired. But I kind of sat with it because this energy was really strong to just be. And so continued to witness, peripheral vision kept closing, and as it did, her eye got brighter and the rest of the room didn't even just get darker, it ceased to exist at all. And I kept getting these like little shudders up and down my spine, like these tingling sensations moving up and down my entire body. And whew, I got chill just now just thinking about it, even just saying it out loud to you. And she started shuddering too. And I was like, wait, you're feeling that, right? And one of us asked the other, Wow, is that happening to you too? So we're both having the same experience. And then we just kind of sat in awe. Oh, like, wow, the more we just surrendered to it, we're like, we don't know what's happening, but it feels benign. Like, it doesn't feel like anything bad is happening. It feels like soothing and comforting in some way. So we just kind of sat with it. And as we both surrendered and relaxed even more, the room kept disappearing. I kept getting these chills up and down my body. But what started happening for me is my whole body started shaking. And so it started getting scary at some point, and we called for our other friend in the other, we actually just called out for some help. One of our friends was completely sleeping, and the other, he came in to support, and he was like woken up out of his sleep, and he's like, what's going on? And he didn't even really need to ask. He kind of just felt it. He was also a very spiritually attuned person, and he just intuitively knew kind of what to do. And I felt like ungrounded, like I felt like I was going to float away. I felt like I was completely losing control of my body. But at the same time, it was scary. But at the same time, it didn't feel bad or unhealthy in any way. It felt like good, like a good energy was working with us in some way. So anyhow, he ended up holding down my legs, like just putting his hands on my thighs. I was kind of sitting cross-legged. He put his hands on my thighs and just pushed down towards the earth. And as soon as he did, I started shaking violently, almost as if I was drinking in to every pore of my body some really big energy. That's how it kind of felt to me. It was almost like bursting out from the seams, from the inside out, but also like it was pouring through me in a weird way. And so as he held down my legs, I was able to relax more, and our gaze was still connected through our eyes. And the entire room and everything, it disappeared, including my body. And it was as if my consciousness, it was like me, I dove into her eyeball, which got really, really, really big. Her eye widened, and all I saw were stars. All I saw were stars. It was the most magnificent thing. It was like I was just effortlessly floating throughout the entire cosmos. One with it all. But like, if I could turn and look around, up, down, left, right, back, front, I would have seen stars in all directions, but there was no up, down, left, right, back, front. It just was this vast cascade of stars. And so I merged in that space, and then I felt like this just total oneness. It's really hard to even put words to. But I lost any awareness of my body or the room that we were in at all for this eternal moment. And then started to simultaneously have awareness of this vast space and stars while simultaneously recognizing that all of that included the room and my body and these other two friends that were there. But no one was separate. So I couldn't see anything visually for a while except for stars all around. But my eyes, I sensed, were still open and looking into her eye. And then these warm, vast waves, like the waves of the ocean, but they were waves of energy, moved through me and essentially felt like they took over my vocal cords, because a sound came out of my throat and mouth that I did not recognize with my ears. And it felt like the consciousness that is little Alicia, like I say little, like the small self, was like just completely took a back seat. But I was enough observing this to remember it, to recount it, to share with you. So that part of my personality took a back seat, but then my consciousness was also just expanded and completely merged with all of life. And this great, when I say the warm waves, it felt like the most profound love, just pure love, a love that is gravity, like this warm, solid, deep, profound, vast love was coming through me and had taken over my vocal cords, and it was like almost like beaming out of my pores is how I experienced it. So that energy moved through and it started to potentize in my voice, and I started speaking things to her that apparently were exactly what she needed to hear in a really deep way. And I don't remember anything that was said. I don't remember the content, but I do remember her crying and just saying like, oh my God, something like that. And just her eyes getting wider and wider. And it was strange because I was still simultaneously amongst the stars, but also like a little bit in the room and in my body, kind of witnessing this and able to see her and experience her. And so a number of other things happened during that time where my voice was taken over, my limbs were taken over. I was stayed completely still, seated, but my arms were taken over and were making these gestures. And the gestures I experienced as some type of energy cleansing, clearing, for her and around the house. So I guess I'm starting to be vague here, but this next thing that I guess I can be more specific, a little more vulnerable even, I started noticing as I'm sharing this story, I start, you know, kind of being like, how's anyone listening to this going to take it? But this is just the truth of my experience, and literally it has taken me years. this was at least 6 years ago, I believe. So it's taken me years to try to wrap my mind around, understand what exactly I was experiencing and what I believe about what I was experiencing. I have kind of just embodied and taken away the things that feel right. And I still have big question marks around some of the experiences, the details. However, I will share this piece with you because this is still one of the big question marks, but it is something that happened and doesn't feel right to leave it out of the story. But again, essentially what I was experiencing next was this, what I can only label as dark energy. And up until this point in my life, I definitely didn't believe in dark energy that can, you know, take over you without your permission kind of thing. I'll probably save this for another episode, what I actually have come to think about in terms of all of this, but this is my experience at the time. Like I said, question mark during while it was happening, because I was just like, I'd never experienced anything like this. But I felt like this dark energy from where I was sitting to all the way to the back right of the apartment. It had entered somehow, and it was this big shadow in the corner, and it was trying to get near her. And so as these warm waves of love flowed through me, they took over my right arm, and my right hand and right arm just made like a stop sign kind of position towards that dark energy. And this booming voice of fierce love and protection essentially came through and helped that dark energy transition to the light. And I don't remember the words that were spoken exactly, but we all kind of had a sense, and as we debriefed the next day, we all had a sense that we all felt this looming kind of evil dark energy move towards the light and just disintegrate into light, that light had come. And I had moved my arm in different symbols or this energy had moved my arm in these symbols as the sounds were coming out, and that energy did not get near her. But I had this kind of what I experienced as omnipresent knowing that this dark energy was trying to get into her head or something. It was just this weird, and it was like, oh no, that's not going to happen. And then from what I remember, my hands and limbs, my arms were kind of taken over and started sealing up kind of her energy field around her body and patched any leaks. It was like, so she was full of light and overflowing. And I almost remember something in my voice energetically, this light that was moving was reassuring her that anything like that will never happen again. And again, this was so far outside of my even spiritual experience or understanding or anything, but it was something that authentically was happening in that moment while I continued to be blissed out amongst the stars and also simultaneously in this, you know, experience of waves of profound love moving through my body and using my voice and my hands. And there was also this energy exchange continuing to happen through our eyes. So I don't remember how long this continued, but some of the more theatrical aspects of the experience faded away, and we just kind of came into this calm, peaceful state. My friend was no longer holding down my legs. I think he just sat in circle with us, and he was just witnessing what was happening between her and I, and we just sat, and the energy just continued to exchange and experience itself through the entire night, and it didn't stop until sunrise. And interestingly, this is my biggest takeaway, not the theatrics, not the, you know, the obvious things that I've shared so far, but this subtle peace that was pure awe and amazement that just continued for hours. It was pure grace. It was profound love And it was so simple, and it was pure grace. And how I genuinely experienced it was there was no separation between her and I, between the one who seemed to be doing the quote-unquote counseling, the kind of counselor role, the counseling that was actually being exchanged, or the counseled. Those three aspects were all one in the same. It was this perfect, messy, confusing, beautiful, divine grace that was so moving. There was a part of both her and I that were our personalities, for sure, that were just completely bewildered as the sun began to rise and the deep trance started to melt away and the bodies became weary, and we just bowed to each other in amazement, bewilderment, surprise, and just walked off to our separate sleeping quarters and went to sleep for a few hours throughout the morning. And a couple things that I remember in hindsight from all this that are still huge, massive question marks to me today. But one was the next day, as our humans started to debrief what we had witnessed the night before, incredibly, she shared with me two things around her experience. And while I was merged with the stars in through her eyes and experiencing this vastness of all, her eyes were wide and bewildered because she was seeing the form of a kind of deity that she felt very spiritually connected to. And I believe it was like a Mother Mary, Kuan Yin type of deity, a divine feminine kind of deity. And the second thing she said was that a couple years prior, that she had had some kind of experience with dark energies, and that she had been trying through many spiritual practices to rid herself of those, from what I remember, and that she hadn't been successful, and that she had experienced what she had experienced that night felt like a full circle completion of that, and she felt so much more clear in her energy field. I haven't talked to her in a few years. I'd actually really love to have a conversation with her and to hear some of her experience after years of integration, because it has certainly taken me years of integration. So, all I know is that it was profound timing and just divine grace, and that when that grace moves through you like a tidal wave, there's no stopping it. And both of our ability to just surrender to it was what brought the gift. And that's one of the lessons I have carried into my life. And I also took away a lesson around the very practical and effective masculine approach to coaching and breaking through and healing and upgrading. But it's the yin and the yang, where that yang approach of transformation also at times must be met with the yin approach of just pure presence, compassion, unconditional love and surrender and letting it go. And that what we experienced the night before with the two friends trying to coach her, and, you know, she ended up receiving exactly what she needed, from all of that, from just the simple loving grace. And that whatever she was really needing was not about her stepping up and breaking through. It was just about her letting go and allowing grace to come through and support her, love, acceptance. And so that has been a huge lesson. And so what happened after that is probably a story for another episode, but I continued for the next 6 months to spontaneously go into these kind of trances, but they started to get smoother in my body. So it didn't look like shaking anymore. No one had to hold me down. The energy, it's almost as if the way that I think about it or experience it is like this high voltage of light energy wants to move through my nervous system, and it starts to condition the pathways of the nervous system to be able to adapt and respond to that higher level of energy, of voltage. And I had, because I had already worked with prayer and mantra and pranayama, breathwork practices, and Ayurveda for a number of years leading up to that point, it had supported my nervous system in such a way that I could actually awaken to allow that level of light energy to move through me, through into another person, and create this healing and, you know, unite us in this oneness of all existence. And so this period of 6 months where I continued to get insights to things that, like, I kind of had access to information that I shouldn't have known. I just kept seeing, I kept being pulled out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and writing things down, messages for people, not knowing who they were, what they were for. I didn't even know some of the people, but then I would pass the message on from someone that I did know, and they would get the message. And even passed on loved ones were coming through at that time to deliver messages to the people they had left behind. And it was very healing and bringing closed loops back. So that was just, I was bewildered for pretty much 6 months. And I had started leading groups and retreats and doing healing ceremonies one-on-one and one on a few, one to maybe two or three, and then up to 8, and then to 12, and then to 20. And I was doing this energy was just streaming through me, and it just, the grace just wanted to go. It wanted to flow to these people, and it was flowing to them through me. And so it was a time of incredible miracles and so much beauty, and also this this supporting and rewiring of my own nervous system to be able to expand into that flow. And then around 6 months, it's kind of like I short-circuited and I had to. I got sick a number of times, and with this really intense, it wasn't strep throat, but it was some kind of throat closing, and it was super intense, so I could barely eat or drink or really, you know, move or get out of bed for a couple months. It was on and off, and I learned a lot of lessons from the experience, and I don't think that I had to get sick, but my human personality, my ego kind of started getting in the way there of trying to figure out what was happening. How do I, you know, what do I do with this? Like, and it started kind of like ramping up some stress, and then I essentially kind of like short-circuited. So I learned a lot how to not short-circuit so that I could, when I eventually had my own apprenticeship of healers multiple years later, like 3 years later or so, I was able to help guide them into opening these faculties for themselves without short-circuiting, because I had kind of learned the hard way. But nonetheless, it happened the way that it happened. And when I was bedridden sick for a couple of months, I actually had a really profound experience with that. One was just stop fighting. Stop fighting the ebb and flow of consciousness through your being. Stop fighting it. Stop questioning it. Just allow it. Also, don't seek it. Don't try. Don't base your identity and personality on it. I think that me getting sick after that 6 months of really intense streaming of that high vibe light was actually a moment for me to not allow my ego from an egoic standpoint to get in the way and start identifying with this is who I am, because it's not me. It's not us. It is all of us, and it's not us. It's not personal. The ego wants to believe that I'm the one with all the power and I am God. And God is like, no, God exists inside of all of us, right? The universe, the power, the Shakti. And so I think it was, there's this powerful ebb and flow of consciousness and ebb and flow of grace that allows our human to be humble, to not seek the siddhis, which are the spiritual gifts, to not seek them for their own sake, but to seek only communion with the divine in the most humble way. The other big learning from this for me was just let the universe take care of you. Like, I had just really let the universe take care of you. I say this to you, my dear listener, and I say this to myself. Let the universe take care of you. And stop judging yourself immediately. So much of my own suffering was created by, like, I'm not that powerful. Like, how did that all happen? It wasn't you, Alicia. Yes, you allowed it. Yes, it's that power is in all of us. I wholeheartedly believe that we are in a period of transition in humanity where we are reaching, we will, if we haven't already reached, we will be reaching a tipping point of humanity realizing their spiritual gifts, their divinity, and embodying that grace and divinity. And imagine what that looks like on earth. That is living heaven on earth. That's not just some nice concept, some idealistic frou-frou, woo-woo, hippie idealism. It's just not. It is the future evolution of humanity. Even when you research that from some of the greatest philosophers throughout history, like Sri Aurobindo, divine human life is what we are evolving towards. It is our highest aspiration. Is not just our highest aspiration as humans is not just God realization. It is living an embodied divine life here on earth. And so wherever you are on your path of this awakening, every single one of us is unique in the way that the mystery unfolds in our own life, in our own body. Stop judging yourself immediately and stop comparing yourself to others immediately. I have caught myself numerous times hearing other people's awakening stories and be like, why hasn't that happened to me? When I have my own set of stories that are my unique ways that I've experienced the divine, and you have had your unique ways that you have experienced the divine, and they're all valid, and they're all beautiful, and they're all delivered to us in exactly the way that we need. Trust that. One of the other big takeaways that I had from this experience was being in deep prayer. Even though I was quote unquote sick, when I had this 6 month period of feeling incredibly gifted and guided and full of grace into this, the next 6 months of being sick and feeling disconnected and feeling like there was no grace left, no insight. I was just a total mortal human again with no divine capabilities. And it was like a dry spell. And when I actually look back over my life, there were these massive oscillations and ebbs and flows of multiple years of dry spell, followed by, you know, a little moment of grace. And that's what keeps us humble. And so how can you, dear listener, be in your deep prayer and in your deep faith, even when things aren't working out in your life the way you think they ought to be? How can you be in that reverence and awe and great joy, even if it doesn't look magical on the outside? This is actually the time that is calling for greater faith, greater devotion, greater spiritual practice is during your dry spells of when it doesn't feel magical and doesn't feel like grace is guiding you or moving through you. There's also one of the great saints of India. Her name's Anandamayi Ma. In her physical body, she many times would heal people through her touch, through them just praying to her, save them, heal them, bring them back from the dead, right? There's like all these incredible stories of her mystical powers and her saintly experience. But she herself, throughout her biography, had gotten sick a number of times, and during those times she didn't speak. She was quiet and just in her own humble, quiet prayer, no followers, no listeners, no nothing. That's when I read that in her story, I'm like, oh, that's when it matters the most, because she never was not Anandamayi Ma. There's just this oscillation that happens even for the most saintly beings, and that includes us as well. She also said in some of her discourses that were recorded that it's not up to her to heal anyone, that if the grace moves through her to the person, to the recipient, it's an act of divine. It's the divine will, not her will. So people couldn't just come to her and expect that they're going to be miraculously healed. But it was only how divine grace wanted to move. And so us as humans, we need to trust that so fully, so deeply. and surrender radically to what is, to see the abundance and feel gratitude for all that's around us without feeling the lack, to show up in service out of the love of your heart, regardless of the outcome and without any attachment to or expectation to the outcome. A flower is not perpetually in bloom. Sometimes you're a flower bud, sometimes you're blooming, sometimes you're in full bloom, and after the full bloom, guess what? You know, the petals fall away, they compost back to the earth, they go to seed, the seed needs to go into the earth. It's dark, it's confusing in there. When you're underground, you don't know which way is up, down, left, right. But with the right soil, the sun, even though you can't see it, the warmth, the season, the timing, the nurturing, the water, almost unexpectedly, the miracle of that seed unfolds. It sprouts up through the earth. Ah, it can see the sun again. And then it grows rapidly towards the sun. And then it bears its flowers and its fruits and its harvest. And you are a part of nature. We are human beings, time bound on 3D, 4D earth plane. And we are also governed for the time being by the rhythms of nature. And so trusting that you don't need to be in bloom all the time. Society that has become a very masculine, results-oriented culture. And there's nothing wrong with masculine, but it has its flow, its yang energy needs to be. It needs to be in flow with the yin. It wouldn't be yang without yin. Just the yin isn't celebrated as much. The yin is the nurturing, the bud, the seed going to seed, the compost. And then that yin overflows into growth, into yang, into sprouting, into growing, into blossoming. And so you are part of nature and you don't need to be in bloom all the time. And whatever societal influences try to tell you otherwise, you're wiser enough to know that that's not the case. So, thank you for listening to this story today. Thank you for being here with me on this journey. Thank you for calling forth the experience and the light. And I want to wrap up here with a very short practice and contemplation for you to integrate this story and experience. And so we'll play a little bit of gentle music, and I invite you into a space of taking just a handful of full, deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth, maybe just transitioning to nose breathing after you flush out the breath. And just contemplate, where are you in the flow of nature, in the cycles of nature? This is the cycles of all life. The seed, the sprout, the growth, the bloom, the fruit, the harvest, the compost. These are the cycles. We can essentially break them down into the three cycles: death, birth and life. We all need to shed layers of ourselves, of our personality, of our behaviors, of our actions, of our thoughts. Those all need to die, to be composted back into the earth so that new life can sprout and be born and grow. So just giving yourself a moment to tune in with every breath as you inhale. You are inhaling life. As you exhale, you are releasing that which no longer gives life. And then that spark of the inhale is the rebirth and the full inhale. So just tuning in to the cycles of life through your very breath, the ebb and flow of the ocean of prana, life force energy that moves in and out of your lungs, rejuvenating you, reminding you, helping you remember this greater interconnected oneness of truth of who you really are. Om Shanti, blessings and peace. And thank you so much for joining me today. I hope today's message, this story, and this little guided practice really nourished your soul and helped you connect to that calm inner peace. If you're enjoying this podcast, please support us by leaving a 5-star review and sharing it with your friends. Also, hit the subscribe button so that you can get all the upcoming episodes. We have some amazing content and conversations in store for you, so I don't want you to miss out on any of that. And remember, peaceful souls create a peaceful world. Please consider donating to support the podcast and join me in the Peaceful World Movement at alishalindiaz.com/donate. Have a beautiful day, and I'm sending you so, so, so much love.
Today's mystical, magical artist is Yaima. You can learn more and support them at yaimamusic.com. Details in the show notes. Lots of love again. Blessings.